Please join me now for our Old Testament lesson this morning. It comes from Psalm 19. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the ends of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults, O Lord. Keep back your servant, also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And our epistle lesson this morning comes from Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 to 14. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, writes Paul, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything a loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Jesus Christ. The word of God and for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord our God, our rock, and our redeemer. Amen. So as Jim mentioned, this morning is Worldwide Communion Sunday. It's a time for celebration. And what a time for celebration it is now that we've entered this season that our ancestors called the time of harvest. The warm sun, the cool breeze, the crisp evening air. What a wonderful time to be alive. Our celebration this morning comes on account of worldwide communion, a time when churches around the world eat and drink the sacrament of the Lord's Supper together in service of Christian unity. Our celebration of this ancient Christian ritual is for upbuilding each of us in inspiration in the knowledge of the Spirit, and upbuilding all of us as whole communities in the knowledge that every congregation, no matter how great or small, is deeply interconnected through invisible bonds. We share resources, water, air, and earth that are not any one person's possession, for all these things belong to God. We're also reminded that we share a mystical bond of love in and through the body of Jesus Christ. All of these things, material and immaterial, are gifts to us. And so we come this morning to celebrate. We come to see this morning that we're not, in fact, separate, individual little monads floating across the universe doing the best we can. No, we're creatures who are deeply dependent upon God and one another. Every time we eat the bread that Jesus broke and drink the wine that he poured out, we're reminded of this dependency and the utter fragility of our lives. All that we have comes from God, and all that we have will one day return to God. And this is cause for thanksgiving, and it's cause for humility, and it's cause for joy. We are not alone. This morning we commune with neighbors near and far on this Worldwide Communion Sunday. Now you may or may not know it, but Worldwide Communion is a contribution to the global church by Presbyterians. In 1933, Dr. Hugh Thompson Kerr of Shadyside Presbyterian in Pittsburgh started this celebration. It was aimed at healing a world fractured by emerging political conflicts on the eve of World War II. Dr. Kerr's son, Don, also a Presbyterian minister, had this to say about Worldwide Communion. "The concept spread very slowly at the start," he writes. "People didn't give it a whole lot of thought. It was during the Second World War, however, that the spirit caught hold, because we were trying to hold the world together." Worldwide Communion symbolized the effort to hold things together in a spiritual sense. It emphasized that we are one in the Spirit and in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, it's no secret that many of us feel as if the world is being pulled apart right now. It's almost as if you added 1918 to 1968, then divided it by 1929, you would get the year 2020. Actually, if you do that, I did the math on that, you get 20.14, but whatever. Anyway, so in all seriousness, though, things do feel fragmented, as if things are coming apart from the center. Neighbor against neighbor, brother against brother, mother against daughter, disease, economic instability, political strife, leadership failure across the world, and I could go on. Yet in the midst of all of this, this morning we're asked to come together and reflect on our unity, our togetherness, our shared humanity, and all the things that we hold in common as followers of Jesus Christ. Yes, the Lord has prepared for us a table, and we bring a lot of heavy burdens to it. Like the first disciples who broke bread with Jesus during Passover, we feel unsettled, disconnected, and scared. It is into this that the Lord speaks to each one of us, saying, "Come, eat and drink with me, and be comforted." Now, Worldwide Communion asks us to reflect on our Christian neighbors, to contemplate the humanity that we share with them in Jesus Christ that is far greater than the sum of our flesh. What we share with our brothers and sisters in Christ is something greater. It goes beyond our kinship ties, our nationalities, our political affiliations, our ethnic identities, tribes, tongues, occupations, and class. On Worldwide Communion Sunday, asks us to reflect on our human brothers and sisters spread across the world. Psalm 19, one of the most amazingly beautiful psalms in the entire Psalter, reminds us that we're surrounded by an even greater cloud of witnesses. The psalmist calls our attention from the merely human to the grandeur of the cosmos. Listen to the words of the psalmist. "The heavens are telling of the glory of God, in the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Creation speaks, and creation cries out. Have you ever heard a rock talk? I'm assuming most of you haven't, and I haven't either. But in Ireland, they once had talking rocks. Prior to 1800, people in Ireland navigated from one place to another using a series of stones. These stones spoke a very particular language. Lands and acreage were marked by something called the Irish measure. This was a distinct system marked in stone, where an Irish mile was longer than its English counterpart by a factor of 14 to 11, and an Irish acre was around 62% larger than those in England. This measurement and navigation system remained intact well into the 19th century, even though attempts had been made by the ruling English government to abolish it. Now imagine being an outsider to this system, an Englishman in Ireland. These stones along the roadside and outside city centers would be very strange to you. They would speak an odd language that would be almost impossible to understand unless you had been raised in the Irish way of life. But I bet that if you were a lonely traveler navigating between Galway and Dublin, and you understood the milestones, then they'd be a source of great comfort to you. But if you were an outsider, the Englishman, then you wouldn't be able to hear the stones speak. They would be silent. You see, you'd have to have the eyes that were well trained to see and ears well trained to hear what the stones were saying. Similar to these Irish stones, the psalmist is inviting us to hear the strange speech of the sun, the moon, the stars, clouds, wind, rain, leaves, insects, grasses, rivers, honeybees, snakes, lizards, and spider webs. Unlike the Irish stones, though, that only deliver information, the psalmist wants us to hear and see something much greater, creation's praise of its creator. Day and night pours forth speech. Can you hear it? Are your ears trained to hear the joy of nighttime? Do you see the sun praising its creator? Do you have the eyes to see the beauty of the cosmos and the oak and maple leaves as they change from green to red and yellow this season? Do you have the eyes to see that these are gifts of God spread throughout the cosmos? Do you have the eyes to see and the ears to hear the chorus that surrounds us, reminding us that we are not alone? Is your heart open to these gifts? St. Francis of Assisi could see it, and he set it to song in something called the Canticle of Brother Sun and Sister Moon. Most high, all powerful, all good Lord, wrote Francis, all praise is yours, all glory and all honor and all blessing. To you alone, most high, do they belong, and no mortal lips are worthy to pronounce your name. Praise be you, my Lord, with all your creatures, especially brother Sun, who is the day through whom you give us light, and he is beautiful and radiant and great with splendor. Of you, most high, brother Sun bears the likeness. Praise be to you, my Lord, through sister moon and the stars. In the heavens you have made them bright, precious and fair. Praise be to you, my Lord, through brothers wind and air, and fair and stormy all weather's moods, by which you cherish all that you have made. Praise be to you, my Lord, through sister water, so useful, so humble, precious and pure. Praise be to you, my Lord, through brother fire, through whom you light the night, and he is beautiful and playful and robust and strong. Praise be to you, my Lord, through sister, mother, our earth, who sustains and governs us, producing varied fruits and colored flowers and herbs. Praise be to you, my Lord, those who grant pardon for love of you and who bear sickness and trial. Blessed are those who endure in peace by you, Most High, they will be crowned. Praise be to you, my Lord, through sister death, from whom no man living can escape. Woe to those who die in sin. Blessed are those who find her. No second death can do them harm. Praise and bless my Lord and give him thanks and serve him with great humility. I hope these are some words you can carry with you this week. Like those who have gone before us, who have undergone trial and political convulsions, we too are trying to hold the world together this morning. And like them, we don't do this on our own. All over the world today, people are celebrating the sacrament of the Lord's Supper together. And we break this bread and we drink this cup. We keep in mind that we're bound together by a bond called the Holy Spirit, who helps us eat as a community, even as it opens our eyes and ears to the fact that the heavens and the earth are declaring the glory of God. As we prepare for this time of communion, be reminded that it really does make a difference where you take the sacrament. This is an opportunity for you to have your senses fully nourished. If you're able, go out into the beauty of the world this morning and commune with your brothers and sisters near and far. And then take time to contemplate, really contemplate all the beautiful things that surround you. And we know that the world is declaring the glory of God and that we too are doing the same by taking this bread and the cup that our Lord offers us. A comforting thought emerges. It isn't up to us to hold the world together. Even in the midst of these trying times, God is our center. When we reckon with this, our hearts can truly pray with the psalmist. Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of all of our hearts be accepting to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. As we enter this time of communion, ask yourself, how do the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart become acceptable to God? Take this time for self-examination. And come now to the table of Jesus Christ with joy. There's great comfort there. Amen.